We're going to work in this discourse on life. How to live in real life in accord with the way life operates, which is totally opposite of the way the Gregory Edward would want it, or maybe the way you would want it. Life has its own intelligence, and it is simply beyond the precepts and the concepts of what most of us think of as reality. We want life to be easy, quick, fast. We want it to bring us all sorts of joy, happiness, fulfillment. And what are we trying to fulfill? We want adoration for the way we have lived our life. We want people to appreciate us. We want everything to be, well, gracious unto the ego. And that's the way we think of life. We think we're battling life most of the time in our livingness. Life is one way and we are going against it. We want it to be something it cannot be. So our life is a struggle because we don't understand life. We don't allow it to reveal itself. And when it does, we often find that we disagree with it. We don't want whatever life is presenting. And so we become very harsh. Jesus called it hardness of heart. We don't live from love. We live from the ideals of our practicality, our intellectual efforts. And in our intellectual effort, we have set up the whole premise and contrived the premise of life. We contrive it in the whole effort of trying to make it gratifying, fulfilling to our ego. What are you doing with your life? Is it all about your ego? Is it all about fulfilling some measure of accomplishment that you want adoration for, or that you expect life, whatever you think of it as being, is going to reward you or condemn or condone you? These things are immature, and it is not the way life works. I'm going to give you a story about real life. And should you understand it, it will help you magnificently with the Tao, because the Tao is not about contriving a life. It is not about being happy. It's not about getting what we want. It's not about any of those things. And yet, we find it very difficult to understand the nature of life. We resist the nature of life because we don't have the heart to live in this life. And this life is not of the world. The world as we see it, as you and I experience it from, let's say, the point of view of politics and religion and philosophy and the hard-nosed living that we have to do to earn a living, we move against life. So here is the teaching in the Tao. What is and what is not create each other. This is how it works. What is and what is not creates each other. Difficult and easy complement each other. Tall and short shape each other. High and low rest on each other. Voice and tone blend with each other. First and last follow each other. Jesus put it this way, and those who are last shall be first, and those who are first shall be last. we struggle with our life because it isn't appealing to our ego, to our genetic pride, vanity. We are stubborn and willful, as Robert Sapolsky said, and it doesn't go away because I want it to go away. It goes away never. The human being will always be willful, stubborn, obstinate. And you have to look at yourself and ask, have I been obstinate with my life? Have I been selfish? Pride, desire, ambition, these are the things that may make a person wealthy in the world, but not rich in the heart. And in the end, as I have said to you so many times, you can't take all of that with you through death. Jesus gave us a beautiful parable on it, and you know what it is about the rich man. Pulled down his barns and built new ones. One night, his soul was required of him. And then, what did these things mean? And everybody faces this moment where everything that we think, say, and do, everything we have become as a human being is useless, petty, inept. And still, we think this is all we have. Let me read you a story. This is an unassuming, humble story, but I love it very dearly, and I've kept it in my journal for many, many years. I haven't ever talked much about it. In fact, I don't think I ever did, because people didn't understand. When I was teaching formally, they didn't understand. And now that I have kind of honed down everything to one-on-one with students, it still doesn't matter. We don't get it. Once there was a young man who wanted to face real life. So he left home and traveled to seek the real world. During his travels, he reached a village and met a certain young family where the wife was pregnant and the husband was working very hard. They welcomed him and invited him to stay with them. He was there for just one day and night. And during that time, the husband suddenly died, and his wife mourned so much that it affected her pregnancy, and she gave birth prematurely. Well, the young traveler saw death and birth in quick succession. He was astonished. He saw the impermanence that caused both grief and happiness. The wife grieved at the loss of her beloved husband and yet was happy to have a baby. He helped that family for a year and then continued on his travels. As he went along, he arrived at another village. Here he knew two brothers. One was successful in business and the other was not. He smiled at life and moved on to another village. A year went by and he returned to the same village and met the same two brothers again. Then he discovered that the one that was successful had failed, and the one that had not been successful was doing well in his business. He saw how change happens in life, how success and failure had brought both of them, both fulfillment and disappointment, and how puzzled they were about it all. Well, time passed by, and after he had traveled for many years, he realized that he was getting old. He thought it was time for him to return to his hometown. This period of traveling had let him come to know both departure and return. He felt that life offered no control but impermanence, and was just a series of changes going on all the time. He recognized that youth changed to old age, passed to the present and future. Impermanence meant that there was no guarantee that there would be a tomorrow. Now, once we understand this little story, we understand it took a lifetime for this man to become aware of life as it was and is. Aware. You have to understand, we have the idea of beginning, middle, and end. This is not the way life works. Life is sudden, and it happens in a moment. That moment cannot be measured in time. That moment is space, the quality of an inner space. And once a person is aware of that inner space, the question of life becomes no more. What is life doing? It is only when we understand the front and the back of life that we understand the meaning of life. Whatever is happening is a consequence because we lack consciousness. So life just continues on and on, offering us the opportunity for transformation, for transcendence. But many people just can't do that, the majority, because they're trying to control this life. It would be better, as Lhotse said, to do without doing, to say without speaking, to live without desire, ambition, and pride. What most affects our life is ourselves, not the circumstances, not the conditions, but how we live in this lifetime. We're aggressive, we're disappointed, we're angry, we're withdrawn. We go into states of mind where we are depressed. We have no character, no ilk, nothing to really base our life into, to understand it rather than try to control it. How quick we are to think in terms of right and wrong, good and bad, what we want, what we don't want. All of this leads to misunderstanding and consequences. In a moment, there is life, birth. In the next moment, there is death and the end. The end of the bodily experience. Now listen to me. Never give your life over to the body. It is impermanent. It is temporary. And if you give your life over to your body and how it feels, you will never be able to live beyond your body, and hence you will believe in death. It is natural for the human body to grow old and die. No matter what anybody tells you, it is the natural phenomenon of a body to be born, to live, and to die. It does not mean failure. This is the karma you and I came into this world with. We have created this. Could we have done differently? Possibly. But this is where we are. And to fight it and to go against it, shows our lack of intelligence. We are here to allow each moment as a moment of unfoldment, where we are not clinging to our body, clinging to an idea, an ideal, clinging to, I don't like this, there's got to be something else, clinging to things that just don't matter. We have to work and live in this world without anger, without hostility, without feeling as though we are being deprived. Watch, learn to develop the witness. Watch your life. Watch it as it moves from one thing to another, from front to back, and then from back to front. Just observe. Don't create thoughts about it. Don't create theories, philosophies about it. Don't do that. Just sit. Sit without the need to make sense of your life. This is something that my students, my friends, even my attendees just don't understand. They come into this work with a purpose. I want to overcome this, that, or the other. Things that they've had for many, many lifetimes in many different forms. And they think that they have to overcome it. No. We have to learn to live with whatever it is that we are dealing with in this world. I have to live with the Gregory of the Edward and the pen. I have to live with it. I let it teach me my ineptness. I let it teach me how foolish it can be. I can look at it from the point of view of bad and good, right and wrong, but what good would that do? And what commentary could I give him? He's just a human being. He isn't better. He isn't lesser. He is a nothing because he will pass away. He will no longer be one day. And all that he has done won't matter at all, not in this world. We've seen the great ones come and go. From people who made all sorts of beautiful teachings, the Buddha, Lao Tzu, Jesus. These are men of great integrity, great goodness. This is the way they live. But what does it mean to live? Really, when you look at it, what does it mean to live? It means that we live in kindness, compassion. We live to awaken, not just to understand, but to awaken. Awaken past the whole idea that life should make sense to us. Life cannot make sense to me, not as a human being. I will never understand life based on that. It just won't work. I have to sit and watch. We're not here to find out how life works and then manipulate it into something that we think is good for us. No. We are here to flow with our life. You have a fate and a destiny that you set into motion many, many lifetimes ago. And now it is for you to sit and watch. The best way to deal with this is to deal with it in virtue, in loving kindness, in the consciousness of compassion. Let's meditate together. I cannot emphasize the importance of this discourse and what it really means, but I hope that you got it. from Lhotse. The man of virtue disappears and is found in the way. He may have his faults, but they are forgiven. Why? Because he knows his treasure. He knows virtue. Let's do virtue together. The goodness of your heart.